clay to the potter, may I be to thee. You may help to break down resistance at times, but Lord, don't stop molding and shaping my life. Shape me, dear Father, please make me like you. Mold me completely so I can be true. And if you have to break me, may I understand you're still loving and holding my life in your hands. It would be such disservice, results would be nil, if clay rejects pot and it seeks its own will. It could only be cast out to the old potter's field. Please don't cast me out, Master. Put me back on your wheel.
I like that music. If you have to break me, Lord, I'll get back to that at the end of this program. But I want to tell you something. If ever God's needed some men and women who are ready to do his will, this hour demands it. I mean, God is reaching for some men and women who want to do his will. And I got you up closer today. This program is intense. This program is something else. The devil is on the rampage. The devil is on the rampage. Anybody doubt that? I don't think so. Well, I'm going to bring you into Charlotte today and let you share and hear some of the things that's happening to us. Now, I understand this has happened to at least 200 cities across America. I don't know how many that would be in comparison. I know there would be at least several thousand. But I can tell you it's on a rampage, and I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know I must be involved, and I must take a stand. Let me tell you. Listen to me carefully now. I'm going to be very precise and very careful. This past Monday night, 6 o'clock, the City of Charlotte City Council had a meeting in which they was listening to the citizens. They only did this at the last moment. I heard about it Friday before it happened on a Monday. I have from the city clerk some information about the ordinance that they were presenting to be changed and voted upon by the city council, but first listening to people that would come and speak. 120 people signed up. I was number 119, and I had to leave. There was no way I could stay till nearly midnight, but I can tell you what happened. Here is what the ordinance said, okay? Let me read it to you. I wrote it down to make it a little larger. Sexual orientation, gender expressions, gender identity, familial status, marital status, added to the list of protected characteristics, added to the list of city non-discrimination ordinances. Adding those things to the list of city non-discriminational ordinances. That meant all of those things were now protected throughout the city limits of Charlotte. If it passed, it lost by one vote, but there had been some changes, and some voted for the changes and then wouldn't vote for it after the changes because it wasn't strong enough. So I cannot tell you exactly how it could have been, but I know that it lost by one vote, 6-5. Now, they believed that they had the votes to pass it, and there was one or two changes according to what I heard on radio. Now, you know, when you talk about things like this, you're saying, what in the world would it have meant to Charlotte if this would have passed? Every one of these things would have been protected in the whole and entire city limits of Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, before I go into this, let me tell you that I have an attorney, a well-known, well-respected attorney listening to me today. He has read this. He knows about this. And so he's listening to watch out for me that I don't say anything I shouldn't say, that I speak only the truth and that I speak it only rightly. And so I appreciate this dear attorney friend. His name will not be given. That would not be fair to him. But I want to tell you that he's watching and he's listening and he's here, not in the building, but he's listening to protect me. And to make sure I say the right things and protect you and protect my audience. You understand, I really do want to be fair. And then I have the manager of this radio station, of which it is our main station. It is the station from which it all started over 40 years ago. And so he's listening also, and they both have the right to call me and say, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't say that. And if something like that happens, I'll make it right, okay? I'm here to do what's right. I'm here to do what's right. Now, let me talk with you a minute. Because I want to tell you, and you've got to listen a minute. We'll open the lines in a moment for you to start calling. But you got to understand what this would mean to Charlotte, North Carolina. If they would have passed this, sexual orientation, gender expression, gender identity, familial status, and marital status, all to be added to the list of nothing that can be discriminated against in the city of Charlotte. This would include churches. This would include businesses. This would include government buildings. This would include the city of Charlotte. Now, let me tell you what it would have done. It would have required every church in this city to open the ladies' restroom of that city to people who claim to be women who are transvestites. A transvestite man, they want to be called women, but I can't do that. That would be contrary to my conviction. A transvestite man could go into any city in this, in this church in this city and enter the latest bathroom at will. Regardless of what anybody says, or that church would be breaking the law of the city of Charlotte. Do you understand what I just said? A transvestite man or a transvestite woman could go in the opposite bathrooms in any church of this city and be protected by the city council's vote, protecting and making sure nobody gets discriminated against. Now, let me tell you some other things that would do, and I've tried to make a list of these. It's very important to me that you understand, okay? It would mean that Bible-believing churches would be outlaw churches in this city. Bible-believing churches like this church would be an outlaw church. And every time they preach the Bible as they know what it says about sodomy or these particular expressions, they would be violating the ordinance of the city of Charlotte. Okay? You understand? Churches, Bible-believing churches, would actually be breaking the law by being Bible-believing churches. They could not sell or give away a Bible. If they sold or give away a Bible that has language in it that discriminates against a sodomite or a lesbian or a transvestite person, if they sold or gave away a Bible, they would be contrary to that ordinance. Do you understand? The Bible is very, very much a discriminatory book. It discriminates against sin of every kind. And it certainly discriminates against sodomy and the sins of sodomy. And I can give you and will give you the words the Bible uses that are very discriminatory. Oh, you say, Reverend Chambers, you are discriminating. No, the Bible is discriminating. I am simply speaking what the Bible says. Now, the Bible doesn't call it discriminatory language. It just teaches against sin. It teaches against adultery, and it teaches against fornication and stealing and lying. So all of those people could call the Bible a discriminatory book against them if they wanted to say that and they wanted to stand up for their lifestyle. So you understand? Very, very clear. Could not sell or give away Bibles. If one of us ministers should preach a sermon in which we would warn people about the sin of sodomy, we would be violating this ordinance of Charlotte, North Carolina. Do you understand? This radio program, now you got to hear this one, open Bible dialogue would be out of business. According to that audience, we would not be able to do this broadcast sitting right here in the city limits of Charlotte, in the Paul Creek Church on Tuckasegee Road. We would not be able to continue this ministry because we would be violating the ordinance of the city. Do you understand? Now, I don't think I've said a thing that's not absolutely clear in this bill. In fact, there's probably a lot more that I could say, and I'll open the lines for you to help me, okay? Now, all the preachers of the city of Charlotte and all the good people and all of you wonderful grandmothers who go to your church on Sunday, and I know us older people will need to use the restroom usually more than one time in a given day in the house of God. But you precious ladies would be very concerned to go to your ladies' restroom because transvestite men would be allowed to go in there, and you would be breaking the law if you did not let them go in. Now, I think we understand what they were trying to do. Now, I've called city council men and women. I sent all of them an email, but I called several. I called the city mayor. I called the city, the council pro tem. I have got no return calls from any of them. I did get one lady that called saying she represented two of them, and she would communicate to them what I wanted some help on. I just wanted them to answer these questions so I could know where they stood on these things that I'm talking to you about. I'm really trying hard to be just as balanced and just as gentle as I know how to be. But how do you deal with something of this nature, knowing what it would mean to our churches? Knowing that every Bible-believing church in Charlotte would be an outlaw church unless they brought themselves under the Jewish diction of these city council members who voted us that we could not say these things or be involved in these kind of things. Well, I have all the names of everybody that voted. They were in the paper, so I'm sure I don't need to tell you who voted for it and who voted against it. I'm just here to tell you what the original intent of this ordinance was. There were some changes, but the original intent of this ordinance was to do exactly what I said. Now, they did vote to take out the part concerning restrooms, and then two of the members refused to vote for it because it didn't go far enough. They wanted it to include that, so probably two changed the vote for it, and then two changed the vote against it. But they thought they had the votes wrapped up, according to what I heard on WBT Radio. They thought they had it wrapped up, but somehow there was an outpouring, and there were some of the kindest things. Now, let me tell you what happened on WBT Radio on Tuesday morning. Now, I heard this. I felt led of the Lord to go home, cut on my radio, and spend about 2 hours before the radio with Keith Larson, who is on WBT. Well, the first thing that happened was a transvestite man. Now, he claims to be a woman. He calls himself Janice. He used to be Jerry. I found out that he was the man who came up and stood. He was the transvestite that came up and stood right beside me where I was standing before I left. And I'm sure that was planned. I don't know that. I'm just telling you that's what I think, that it was planned, and he was sent up there to stand beside the Reverend Joseph Chambers. I didn't pay any attention, didn't bother me. I was uncomfortable, you know, because I saw and felt the spirit of it, you know, and that's kind of normal, but I showed no reaction. I was not unkind in any way. But on Tuesday morning, Keith Larson talked with him, and I found out then, I didn't know on Monday night, that this man, or someone who was the transvestite, went into the ladies' restroom there at the city hall. Now, this was before it was voted on, so it was illegal. but he went into the ladies' restroom, spent a little while, and a mother who had two daughters, 1-7, 1-9, with her in that restroom. They had either gone in, come out, or were going in. I'm not sure about that, but it was connected. She called the police, and the police came and removed him. Lady police came and removed this transvestite, and of course that was made them angry, and there was a big discussion with Keith Larson. I'm not going to try to tell you how I felt this discussion went. Maybe you heard it. I will get a copy of it off of the internet or from the station this week so that I can share maybe next week some of that with you. But it was very much just celebrated that he had gone in that restroom to prove himself. Well, this mother who called and had the two girls, she called immediately after and spoke, and she did a marvelous job. And all I can say to that dear lady was, God bless you, lady. I tried to call but never could get her to thank her for standing so tall. Well, now you understand. You understand a little bit. You may have some questions, and we're going to open the lines in a moment. Let me give you our numbers to call. I'm going to preach a sermon tomorrow that I really like. The Lord had already given me this sermon. I mean, I was going to preach it last Sunday morning, and because of the weather, we did not get to have church. But I'm going to preach it in the morning, and it's going to be this. Satan's reign of terror is almost over. Satan's reign of terror is almost over. And I'm going to show you in this what's happening and why we know his reign of terror is coming to a close. He's on his last rampage. Could I tell you the name of this program? Satan is on, the devil is on his last delusional rampage. That's the name of this program. The devil is on his last delusional rampage. And I really believe that. I believe we're coming down to the wire. See, everything happening like this is only getting Charlotte ready for the rapture to occur and the saints of God to be gone. And then the enemy will impose that. And any church with a Bible-believing pastor, that will be altered immediately after the rapture, my friend. You'll be in trouble, preacher, if you miss that rapture, and I hope you don't. But if you do miss it, and you're in the pulpit after the rapture in the city of Charlotte, if that should pass, and it eventually, if not before the rapture, it certainly will pass after the rapture. My duty is not to worry about what happens after the rapture. My duty is to make sure it doesn't happen under my watch, while and before, and while we wait for the rapture. Fair enough? Fair enough, I think it is. I know I'm 80 years old. I'm not, you know, I don't like another big struggle like this, but I can see it coming. And let me tell you, we're planning to reorganize concerned Charlottians. I'm already calling across the country for some of these organizations that are deeply involved in going into cities like this and litigating some affairs where the line is being crossed. I believe they've crossed the line because in the paper on Thursday, policy allowing bathroom choice has already been enacted in the city of Charlotte, in all the city buildings. Anybody that works there or goes there with an application for the job, and that would be easy to walk in and say, well, I come looking for a job, and so I go to the ladies' bathroom instead of the men's bathroom. Well, anyhow, that's what's happened. I believe it's contrary. I think it's the same kind of executive action that the President of the United States continues to take, and it looks like our mayor has done the same, or maybe it was the city manager. I don't know who. We'll find that out. But we're concerned and we're involved and we're going to find out what's happening, and it's probably going to be a little struggle, but I need you helping me, and I'm inviting you to become a part of it. There will be a meeting announced very shortly in a good church in this city where we'll probably meet and have a luncheon, a dinner meal, and invite hopefully 300 or 400 or 500 people who will come and get on board with us to help stop this. Now you see, they are already bragging about they're going to win. They are already talking of their future plans, and they will be after this now. They'll double down. I'm here to tell you, getting defeated Monday night was not no fun for them, and they are doubling down, and you might as well get ready. You might as well get ready. I'm telling you, you better get ready for the struggle, okay? Now, let's go to the lines here. Get the internet up. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. You are welcome to call, and you can say, what you want to say as long as it's within reason. You cannot use bad language. You cannot talk mean about nobody. I'm not going to let you do that, okay? We're not going to get in no mudslinging situation. We're just going to discuss our city and how to protect our churches, how to protect our ministers, how to protect businesses that are family-owned businesses that don't provide services to homosexual situations or transvestite situations. Try to protect those who perform weddings. That's already, of course, in some judicial battle, and I'm going to join that battle and try to get in and help it. Listen, friend, we've got to win this. We got to win this for our citizens. We got to win this for our students, our kids, our young people. We got to win this for grandmothers who need to go to the restroom. If they go shopping, if they go to church, they need to go to the restroom. So we've got to win it, and we need your help. And the lines are open, okay? The lines are open, and you can call right now. Let me tell you the number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Next number is our toll-free number, 1-800, anywhere in America, in Canada, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-TRUTH. No, 33-TRUTH, I'm sorry. 1-800-33-TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H. You're going to get nothing but the truth here. Nothing but the truth, the best of my ability. Now email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. JRC@paulcreek.org. I want to hear from you all over the country. I want to hear from ministers in the city of Charlotte. How many ministers do we have in Charlotte? There's hundreds of us. How many of you will stand up? How many of you are willing to protect your church? How many willing are protect your right to preach anything in this Bible? Okay? Now you say, Brother Chambers, if you cannot use words that they would consider discriminatory, what could you say about sodomy? Really, nothing. The words the Bible uses are words like, let me see if I can get some of them, vile affections. Vile affections. The word sodomy. The word sodomy comes from the city of Sodom. And the whole idea is because of the disgusting thing that happened in Sodom. See? So you can understand that there's no way to talk about sodomy and not use words that they would consider discriminatory. Now you say, Brother Chambers, are you discriminating against them? I wouldn't try to keep them from having a meal, having a job, having a home. I mean, I don't come against any of their normal rights that all of us have. We're not talking about normal rights. We're not talking about the right of free expression. We're not talking about the right of living like you please, as long as you keep that life. You mean you're not allowed to fornicate on the streets of Charlotte? Why should you be allowed to show forth your homosexuality on the streets of Charlotte? I mean, there are protections that a society has, and we have that protection. We want to keep that protection, and we don't want nobody to get rights to do things that are vicious and contrary to decency. And for a man to go in a lady's restroom, can you imagine? Can you imagine what that would do to a precious grandmother? Grandmother, it would be overwhelming. Now give me a call. I want to hear from you. You are on the air if you call, and we will do our best to be a blessing. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah. Did you say that the city government restrooms are open to transgender people?
The city building has now been proclaimed by the mayor that any of the city offices that a transvestite can use the ladies' restroom. A transvestite man can use the ladies' restroom. A transvestite woman can use the women's restroom. That means a man who says he's a woman can go into the ladies' restroom and intimidate every woman in there and do his thing. Now, that's already happened in the city buildings. That's what the mayor did, which I think is wrong, and I think he overstepped his boundaries, and we're going to look at that this week. But they were going to vote for that for the whole city and even require that of our churches.
I know, but listen, are you there?
I'm here. I'm waiting on you.
You You said this has been true about the city government buildings?
Yeah, I don't know how long it's been true. I just know the paper says policy allows bathroom choice, and it gives the whole details of, that in the city of Charlotte, in city buildings, men, transvestite men, can use now the ladies' restroom. Now, he must have done that. I don't know how and when, but that's what the paper says.
Common wisdom doesn't come with being educated, then, does it?
I'll let you decide that, sir. God bless your heart. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, I just wanted to find out some information. I don't see how they could really pass a law that goes above and beyond, I'm sorry, above the Free Speech Amendment thing. Don't you think they'd be violating that if they ever...
They violate a lot of things, sir. I don't know how to answer that question. All I know is we are looking at it. We're getting attorneys looking at it. We're calling on some of the big organizations in America that are really wonderful. I know most of them. Alan Sears, Cephalo, Don Wildman. Those are three of them. I know those people well. We're going to look at all that possibility just getting started, because I didn't know this was happening. I didn't know this was going on in the city buildings.
Well, this law can be struck back down if it did pass it, because...
Well, it didn't pass, though, so praise the Lord.
Yeah, if it ever do pass, it can be struck back down by the U.S. Supreme Court if us Christians...
Well, we don't know that. We're just going to work on it. Thank you, sir. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers?
Yes.
Something I've noticed in the Christian community is that for years it seems like, you know, we've shown a lot of hate towards certain sins, because this is a very vile one, but something the Lord's really laid on my heart.
Do you think that is hate for us not to want our ladies' restroom to be used by transvestites?
No. Let me further explain. What I'm saying is we need to help these people understand God loves you, and we as Christians are trying to get...
Sir, we are trying our best to do that. I do that all the time.
Exactly, you do, and I really appreciate that. You always let people know.
And I think other churches do, too. So I think we're muddying the waters to try to start pointing our finger at the church. We have failed, because we should have taken a stand in this long ago.
Yeah, I didn't mean to come across in that way, but I'm just saying we need to get out the message. But, hey, you're being fooled by the devil, and he's going to take your soul to a place for eternity that you don't want to go.
Yeah, and so I really don't see hate among Christians today. I see a kind of looseness that is allowing everything to develop, and we need to be balanced between loving people and telling people the truth. You can't help a sinner if you don't help him understand he's a sinner.
Exactly. I think it has to be both sides. It
has to be balanced with both sides. Do I sound like I'm being balanced today?
Yeah, you do. You do. I mean, my wife and I listen to you. We've been listening to you for months now, and I always appreciate the fact the way you come across and let people know that, hey, as a Christian, hey, we love you, and we're trying to help you. We're not trying to hate you. We're not throwing fingers at you. We're here to show you the light, to lead you in a way that's...
That's right. Exactly. That's what I want to do. I have traded with homosexual businesses because I was trying to be a light to them and trying to show them the right way. But I should be allowed to trade with them because I want to, not because some law makes me. And so that has to do with the same law. We care about men, women who are involved in sinful lives. Sodomy is one of the most abominable life there is, and the Bible calls it an abomination. The Bible calls it an abomination. That's very evident, and I can read that if I need to. I hope to have time.
Oh, yeah.
But it also is a forgivable sin. You can be delivered from it.
You can, and a lot of people think, well, I can't be delivered, but you can, because I've been a Christian. I'll be 60 years old come Sunday, and I've been a Christian since I was 17, and it's come to the point where it breaks my heart that these people are being so fooled by the devil. It's like, people, your souls are heading towards hell. And
the lake of fire is a real place, brother. I got to go here. God bless your heart. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a comment. Macy's allows men and women in the restrooms in their stores. And I had heard that on a Christian radio station one time. So I went in and asked the manager if it was true. And she said, yeah. And I told her that that's just going for such a small minority of people. They're going to ruin all their business with the decent people. There's no woman is ever going to go into a restroom and try and suck on and have some perverted man in there that thinks he's a woman. And I don't care if they want to dress like a woman, buy the clothes and take it home and try it on. I mean, they can take the women's clothes into the men's restroom, but any man that has male parts should not be in a woman's dressing room or fitting room.
Thank you, dear lady, and God bless your heart. You are exactly right, and I appreciate your stand. You on the air. May I help you, please? Is anybody here? Well, maybe that's the line I already had. I'm not sure. God bless you. Hey, friends, give us a call. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. JRC@paulcreek.org. Emails, send them. Hey, are you concerned enough now to get on your prayer bones and to really set your heart to pray for the city of Charlotte? Could I get just several thousand of you out there crying out to God and doing your best to help rescue our city from the possibility of this? It's coming back. I'm here to tell you, they're not going to go away. They're not going to go away. If you would have been on the phone and heard some of the phone calls I've made and some of the responses I've got, I called the owning company of WBT, which is in Boston, Massachusetts, right outside, a burn tree. I see, why am I trying to write the word burn tree? I believe that's right. Massachusetts, the name of the company is, the name of the company. I've got it written down here somewhere. I want to make sure I can tell people what it is in case you would like to call. Well, I'll find it before I'm over. And I'm telling you, we need to know what's happening. I've tried to get Jason to let me on to answer to his conversation with the transvestite man. They have refused. So far, I don't know that they will or won't. That may be up to you to start calling and help me get on to tell the other side, and I'll be just as gentle and kind as a man can be. But we've got to get the truth to our people of what this would do to our churches and what this would do to the citizens of Mecklenburg County. And it's unfair to all of those wonderful people. I'm sure there's some wonderful people who work in city buildings and city jobs and jobs of that nature. I'm sure they're out there. And how, do they have to spend the day without going to the restroom? Or do they have to get somebody to stand outside and watch for them? That's probably what they do. I guarantee you there's plenty of them that wouldn't go in if they know there's a transvestite in there. We got too many good people in this city. You on the air. May I help you, please? Wait a minute. Let me get the... Are you on the air? May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Dr. Chambers, I was there. My name is Jimmy Floyd. I was at the meeting... I think it was this past Tuesday.
And Monday night.
Monday night, yes. Well, I want to commend you for your wonderful job. We've been listening to you for years, and I was proud of the people that was able.
Wasn't there some wonderful speeches?
Yeah, they did a fantastic job, and I was also in the lobby when I heard them talking about the transvestite that went into
the ladies' bathroom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, he thought that was a celebration.
Yeah, that was a mess, but I commend the people and the ministers. Though there was a lot of ministers there, I commend them very for their job and what they have done to get this vote down. So I trust that I want to be a part of this meeting.
Okay, you give my ladies your name and address, will you?
Right, just part of this concerned Charlottesians. Even though there was a lot of people there at that meeting on Monday night, there were some different cities.
Well, I know that. I know that. That was wonderful. A great stand, a great meeting, and I want to thank Dr. Mark Harris from First Baptist. He helped organize that, and he did a good job. I didn't know about the meeting they had that afternoon. I would have been there. I did not know about that at all. I didn't learn about this until Friday, and immediately I turned on Keith Larson, and he was talking with a gentleman who was standing against it, and boy, Mark was arguing for it with all he had. Jason was arguing for it with all he had. Too many names has come at me this week, but I get them. Thank you, sir. And make sure, I want to give you back to the ladies. I'm going to put you on hold, give you back to the ladies, give them your name and address and telephone number, and put on the Concerned Charlatans, okay?
Yes, Thank you, sir.
You do that, and God bless you. Get that, ladies, if you would. I think that was line one. You on the air. May I help you, please? All right. You on the line. May I help you, please? Now, you on the line. All right. Who am I? I need somebody. I mean, I'm supposed to have somebody else here, but I don't know who it is. Ladies, let me know if there's somebody holding. Listen, we are talking about a very heated issue. I don't think anybody's been ugly. I wouldn't be ugly at nobody. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be ugly at nobody over it. It is a matter of decency and order, and it's a biblical matter. Do they not know this whole spirit is the spirit of Antichrist? It's getting ready for this world to be a hell on earth after that rapture of the bride takes place. I'm talking about hell on earth like there's never been. But we're getting a taste of it. Do you understand? Somebody called me Saturday, and said, how bad could it get before the rapture? And I had no idea how bad it could get before the rapture. But boy, I got a taste of it at that meeting Monday night. And then Tuesday, listening to Keith Larson on WBT. And then talking with people at both WBTV. I said to a lady that answered the phone, a receptionist, are y'all concerned? No, we want to provide something for everybody. And then when I called up into Massachusetts to try to get through to what I was trying to do, that lady got upset with me. We provide things for everybody. We're not narrow. I said, well, can you protect our rights while you're providing things for other people's rights? You know, it's amazing when rights don't mean anything to us Christians and the Jews. Those are the two being persecuted all over the world, Christians and Jews. If our rights don't mean anything, how could anybody else's rights mean anything? I don't understand that. You on the air, Mayor? Well, it's not on the air there. Don't know why. We do have to be careful with these phones. Boy, are they a mess sometimes. Trying to get a line to work. You on the air? May I help you? Nope. No, can't get line two. So help me, ladies. Listen to me. Are you willing to be part? Hey, this will be a labor. This will be a great opportunity to let your light shine. This would be a great opportunity to do something meaningful for the churches and the people of Charlotte. I want to protect every Bible-believing church we have in this city. I would like some Bible-believing pastors to grab your phone and call and tell me how you feel and let me know that you're going to stand up. I don't know how many pastors in the city will stand. I hope some of the mega pastors, this would be a real chance for them to really let their strength be felt in a way that could be meaningful to the city and meaningful to maybe the whole nation. I am told that this city, and especially this particular mayor, is very close to the president. I don't know about that. That's just something I was told this week by someone who should know. I'm here to tell you, whatever is happening, we want to be involved for right. Now, let me go to the internet here while you're calling. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-338-7884. This call, let's see what we got here. All right, that's not one of them. This is the article. Well, I don't see here. These people say they are fighting for equal rights, but they are really wanting special privileges instead of adhering to the same rules as everyone else. Thank you for taking a stand and fighting to keep God's way. I know this isn't just an issue in Charlotte, but it's all over America, and you are right. It is all over America. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. It's all. Do you know what has just happened in Houston, Texas? You just keep your ear to the ground. It's going to get more and more. Just to clarify, your program would not be outlawed, but if you preached against transgender use of bathrooms, then you would be speaking contrary to the law. Is this right? You are right. You are right. The program would not be outlawed until I spoke against sodomy or transvestites. It would be outlawed when I took a stand like I'm taking today. Or any time I would preach a sermon or share a thought or just say a word. Hey, we're reaching out to help homosexuals come to Christ. They're living in sin and their life is an abomination. And we want to help deliver them and bring them to the truth. That would be outlawed. even though it would be kind and gentle, you know, even though I would be doing it in the right way. You on the air, may I help you, please?
Yes, yes. Is this Pastor Chamber?
Yes, it is. Turn down your radio, okay?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I had an idea.
Okay, want to hear your idea, George?
What if a person were to take a full-page ad in the newspaper and explain the law that was about to be passed and explain it the way that you did, without hate, and just say the law would allow a transvestite man to go into a lady's bathroom and there could be two little girls there and he could pull his pants down and expose himself, and it would be totally legal. Now, if a person could take out an ad...
You're asking me if that would be legal. I'm telling you what, it would be wonderful. If you'll pay for it, I'll try to do it. Now,
I
don't think the Charlotte Observer would accept it, though.
Well, they would... I had thought about doing it without prejudice. Just do it plainly what the law permits.
Good. I like that. I think that would be wonderful.
It's $5,000, probably for a full-page ad, and I would pay the money, and then at the bottom, it could say, if you agree with this ad, please send $5, and then some local church that would gather that money so it could be done again in the next city.
Well, that's a good idea, George. You're my kind of a man, to be honest with you. You know, we got too many wimpy men in America. We need men that stand up. Let me tell you what I am going to suggest. I have the feeling that this thing has created so much of a backlash in the homosexual community, in the transvestite community. Just like this man Monday who went into the city restroom in the city hall and broke the law. I presume it's against the law. The police went in and got him, so it would have to be. If they start doing this all over the city just to show us, are there men out there who would take a stand? Let me tell you what I suggest. If I'm standing in the hall and my wife goes into a restroom, I always stay in the hall and wait for her to come out. Mm-hmm. If I see a transvestite about to go in, I'm going to stop him. I'm not going to let him go in. But if she's in there and there's a transvestite that walks out of one of the stalls and she screams, I'm going in and get him. And I'm not going to hurt him. I know how to get him in such a way as to have him out of that building, out of that room, before he knows what did it. And I would get him out of there, and I would do it in a flash, and I'm asking for a few thousand men in Charlotte who would make that commitment and be willing to do that if they start doing this to show their power and their right. And I have the feeling they will.
Okay. I'd like to add one more thing.
Okay.
I'm speaking out to transvestites and homosexuals. Please understand that we're just trying to keep a normal kind of lifestyle for our kids. So please don't be offended by what we do. We do care for you, Mr. Homosexual and Mr. Transvestite. But it's just so heartbreaking to see this kind of behavior that shown to little kids, okay?
Thank you. And now you call me about that full-page ad, okay?
I will.
God bless you. God bless you. Hey, that's not bad. Hey, that's not bad. I like that idea. I don't think the Charlotte Observer will accept it, but it'll be a wonderful thing to try, and it would be a wonderful way to get our organization off the ground and really get started moving, because it's going to be some months in this, maybe even years. You remember when the pornography fight was? How many remember that in the early 1980s? I led that, and literally two attorneys from a big organization in America came to Charlotte. They stayed at my house. My wife fed them and took care of them. And they wrote the law, part of it, at least in my house, part of it at least. And, of course, they met with legislators and different people in the state. And then they wrote the law for us. And then we got it passed in the General Assembly with the help of Governor Jim Martin and Attorney General Lacey Thornburg, one a Republican, one a Democrat. This is a non-political issue. It doesn't matter what party anybody's a member of, not one iota. We won, and we put 700 adult bookstores out of business in the state of North Carolina. Now, most of you don't know that. Many people in Charlotte don't know that was Concerned Charlatans led by Joseph Chambers. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what the Lord did. I was warned that many of these was owned by the mafia, and I'm sure they were. And the people that helped me was just numerous. We need your help again. We need your help again. Now, if there's anybody on the line waiting on me, somebody let me know who it is. Because right now, I don't know. All I know is I'm waiting if there's another call. Hey, give us a call. 1-800-338-7884. Let me see if I can come up here. All right. I'm looking for any other email I missed. We don't need your help. We are fine as we are. Mind your business or we will rid ourselves of your religious entirely. Rid yourself of our religion entirely? Can they do that? That's what this person threatens. Every last trace of your myth will be banished and we will be better off as a nation. All right. They are after killing and destroying all religion. Not killing us, but I don't guess. I don't think. I hope not. But anyhow, they are out destroying our religion. They are out to destroy it. Do you understand that the progressive of America are against Bible-believing Christianity? I mean, that's in every case. They are against Bible-believing Christianity. Now, the lines are open. Hey, if you're on the other side, now, I don't like just getting people who are for me. I like, well, that one wasn't for me, that's for sure. But 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. We care about you. I promise you, we care about every living soul. Jesus died on that cross for every man or woman on the face of this earth. If you go to hell, you'll walk over top of his blood. You'll walk over top of his grace. I promise you. The grace of God is for you, every one of you. Nobody excluded. Nobody. Remember that now, Keith Larson. Remember that now, Jerry, that's now called Janice. Remember that, any of you out there, we care about your soul. We don't want you to spend eternity in a lake of fire. I've been thinking lately so much about that lake of fire, and I have got so troubled over it. You know, I wished I could prove by the Bible that it wasn't no such thing. I don't like the thoughts of somebody being in a lake of fire for eternity. It tears me out of my frame. If I think about it in the middle of the night, I can't even go back to sleep. I weep and cry for the loss because I care for your soul. I care for your soul. I care for your soul. Now, I think we all can see what's going on. Okay? I think we all can see that. Now, we need everybody that will to please call, leave your name and number, and just tell the ladies it's because you want to be part of the new organization of Concerned Charlatans. And you want to meet with us when we meet. I need a lot of preachers. I need a lot of good businessmen. I need a lot of people with the capacity, money-wise. I happen to know this man named George. He's not from North Carolina. He's from another state. And he has the money to do just what he said. And I think that's really beautiful. I really do. I don't know about it, but I know that God has the answer and you on the air. May I help you, please?
I was on the phone. I heard you talking about the radio earlier, saying how people care about religion. I mean, me for one, I grew up religious down here in North Carolina, Bladen County. But my whole thing with your argument is the people are not against religion; is they don't want it forced on them.
I agree with that.
I don't want.
Hey, I agree with that. I don't believe you should ever try to force someone to be a Christian.
And that's my whole thing, is everybody wants to sit here and talk about how, oh, this is an attack on Christianity. There is no attack on Christianity. It's an attack on the regular citizens that don't believe in it.
No, no, no. It's an attack on... No. Sir, if you're trying to make a church...
We're going to go to hell.
Well, you are going to go to hell if you don't get saved. No question about that. But I'm not going to try to force you to be saved. If you prefer to spend eternity in the lake of fire instead of heaven, that's your choice. But you need to know it is a choice, and you need to know that you're making that choice.
You want to sit up in heaven while your family is burning in hell, and you're happy with that.
No, sirree, I wouldn't be happy with that.
As the family's burning.
And I wouldn't be happy with that.
See, you're more of a sociopath than your God is.
Well, okay, thank you for calling. I wanted you to have the freedom to call, and do you mind if I pray for you?
Hey.
Could I have your first name so I could call your first name to God? Well, that's him. He's gone. You know, I do care. I do care, and I'm glad he called. I really am. I want this program to be open to anybody from anywhere to call and be a part of it. And I want us to teach you. I mean, I'm here to teach. We pay for this time. We pay for this time. You help me. And by the way, I need some help. I really do. Been kind of slight starting out this year. And so I hope you'll get yourself involved and do your part to help us. Because this program is very, very necessary. Now, let's go here and see if we can find any other calls. If you're on the air, please call. In Michigan, a woman was changing in a Planet Fitness locker room when a man walked in the locker room. This lady went to the front desk and told the management about it. At that time, her membership was revoked due to discrimination. The lady said, this person said this man did not look or walk like a changed person. Now that's the man. Did not walk like a gender changed person. That's what the woman said, but he said he was. And so she went to the management and they took her membership. Instead of stopping the transvestite from going in the restroom, they took her membership. Oh, is that not amazing? Now that was in Michigan. How many places is this happening? Could anybody else tell us? Are we looking at something coming to all of America? Do the homosexuals determine to force this on us? Do you not understand that the homosexual lobby is so overrated and so given preferential treatment that it makes no common sense? Makes no common sense. I just heard about Penny's, that they fired the CEO that was trying to turn their organization into this, fired the woman who was the PR that was a lesbian, and they've turned it around, and they're going to close the Penny's stores on Easter Sunday, this coming Easter Sunday, because they made such a change. I don't know if that's true, but I'm sure intended to find out. A minister in Florida just told me about it, and he wouldn't have told me if he didn't. I have good evidence it was true. I'm telling you, the whole homosexual lobby is so overrated and overextended, and people are scared to death. They're scared of litigation. No, we shouldn't be afraid of nothing when we stand in for right. We shouldn't be afraid of nobody when we're standing on this Bible. Nothing should intimidate us. Nothing. I mean nothing. The Bible is infallible. You can believe in it. Now, let's open the lines again. By the way, listen, the sermon I'm going to preach tomorrow, I am excited about that sermon. I want the people to know the devil is on his last leg. I want you to understand, the devil is making a fool out of himself. He always overextends his hand. He always goes beyond, and in the end, he gets mud on his face, and he's about to get more mud on his face than he's ever had. That's the devil I'm talking about, and I'm going to be preaching that tomorrow, and I'm going to give you a CD copy of it if you'll simply call right now. Let the lady send it to you. I want you to know the devil is at his end. I think that's the most wonderful thought. The Holy Ghost poured that in my heart about 2 weeks ago, and it just struck me, and I was shouting and praising God, because the Bible makes it plain the devil is on his last rampage. I mean, he is on his last rampage, and we're about to see the triumph of God. Hey, call to get that, will you? Right now, quickly, don't wait. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588, and then the toll-free 1-800-338-7884. You can even send your address on email, jrc@paulcreek.org. That's P-A-W, not Paul, but Paul. jrc@paulcreek.org. Hey, I want to hear from you. Grab your phone. We got time for two, three, four more calls. Questions here. I'm looking for my internet. Don't want to miss nobody. You are very welcome. I want to hear from you. I attended a church several weeks ago that had a couple church members waving colored flags during the time of worship. This was new to me, and I heard that it is or can be a New Age technique. Do you know anything about waving flags during worship? I know I don't want nothing to do with it. It is indeed out of a New Age background, the New Age churches. I remember when it started. I went to a church up in Asheville that was one of the first to start this. Choreographed dancing, waving flags, anything to add emotion, because the church is so dead. Did you know that's why they're doing things like that? It's because the place is dead. If they had a moving of the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't need that. If they had a moving of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't need to add a bunch of questionable emotional things. You just worship God and praise the Lord. Hey, the lines are open. Hey, I don't want to waste a bit of time here. Grab your phone. Would you please? Grab your phone. We've got 11 minutes, 704-391-0588. We're talking about what happened in Charlotte, North Carolina last Monday. Did you hear the details? The city council had a motion to pass this ordinance, this new ordinance, new addition to the ordinance, I should say, to put within that ordinance action to stop any discrimination against homosexuals. Let me just read it to you. Very important. Sexual orientation, gender expression, gender identity, that's the transvestite, familial status and marital status on the list of things that in the city of Charlotte you could not discriminate against. I made it plain at the beginning of the service that a transvestite man could go in any church in the city of Charlotte if it had passed as it was originally intended. If it had passed as it was originally intended, they could go in any ladies' restroom in any church in Charlotte city limits, and the church could not move them out unless they broke the law of the city of Charlotte. And that's, of course, the same for the men's restroom, where the lesbian could go in claiming that she's actually a man when she's a woman. Now, not only that, but the Bible would be outlawed. The Bible is full of words of truth against sodomy. I mean, it is plain in this Bible that sodomy is wrong. Now, let me read to you so that there will be no questions, okay? Line 2, I'll take that in just a moment, okay? So give me a minute. Line 2, but before then, let me read. Romans 1, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God shall give them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the use, the natural use, into that which is against nature. Women changing the natural use of women into that which is against nature. Doing that, of course, with other women. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men. Now notice, men with men working that which is unseemly. Unseemly, the Bible calls it, and receive it in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, you know, there's just so much Bible about it. I mean, it's overwhelming. Don't want to miss. Let me see where I've got a scripture, a call waiting on me. I believe this is right. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, preacher. I got a question for you.
Okay.
The Bible speaks against gays and lesbians. I don't understand what makes people want to do that when God made women a woman and a man. Could you explain to me maybe what you think these people are thinking?
Well, the Bible says that they've been turned over to this reprobate mind to do that which is unseemly. It's a delusional thing that a person who is undisciplined in their lifestyle, undisciplined in their sexual activities, that they literally move into that by delusional feelings and delusional moments. It is very much a lifestyle that a natural person who is thinking biblically and naturally would want nothing to do with. That's why they feel so intimidated and so ostracized, is because Christians know it's wrong, and they pull back from it. And if you walk into a place and you are a transvestite, and you can tell it's a man, but there's, you know, this transvestite walked up beside me there at the city hall last Monday night and stood there, and I presume that was all on purpose because you know, they certainly know Brother Chambers and my stand, my tall stand for right. light and truth, and you feel uncomfortable. You literally feel uncomfortable. And so it is a delusional lifestyle, and it comes about simply because people reject God and do their own thing. And when you become selfish and self-centered and you live like you please, you can wind up, sin will take you further than you ever intended to go and keep you longer than you ever intended to stay and do things to you that you never intended to be done to you. Do you understand that language?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even like to be around these people, and I think that's why the good Lord, you know.
That's because it is just not natural. The Bible calls it unnatural behavior, and it just makes natural people feel uncomfortable. Thank you, sir. I got to go. Okay, you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. This is Shirley calling from Urban Recovery City.
Okay, you don't need to tell your name. Just give me, make your statement or ask your question. God bless your heart.
Well, I appreciate what you're teaching on today and the people that are disagreeing with you. I would just like to tell them the people that they think are being their friends and taking up for them, they're really not helping them. You're trying to help them.
You know, that's the truth. The people who are involved in the promotion of this are not a friend to these people. All you've got to do is follow their lifestyle, look at what happens to them, watch the things that occur, and their lifespan is shortened by a man something like 30-40%, a woman a little less shortened as a man, but similar. It's a very, very destructive lifestyle. There's no happiness there. You lose the privilege of a wonderful family and wonderful children. There's so much lost in that lifestyle that all of us ought to be praying for them and crying out to God for them and witnessing to them kindly and gently at every opportunity. Thank you.
I hope they know that, and I hope that they know we're trying to help to save their soul from a burning hell.
But they don't feel that, okay? Thank you. I must move on now, folks. It has been such a joy to bring you the kind of information I have brought you. I'm doing my best. I wouldn't be no way but kind, and I think everybody can tell that, and I've had too many say in it. If I was the other way, you would certainly be telling me you on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, can a transvestite, can they be saved?
Yes, they can be saved. There's no such thing as long as you've not blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a point in which people in all kinds of lifestyles go so far and become so reprobate that God doesn't deal with them any longer. And that can happen to anybody, whether they're homosexual or whether they are an adulteress or whether they're just a liar or whether they're a thief. Or whether they're just mean rascal, you know. You can just go so far in sin until you become delusional in it. And at some point then you're turned over to a reprobate mind. And you have no mind to repent.
Would you invite them to your church and you pray for them and not make a mockery or anything of them?
Anybody that walks in this church, anybody, listen to me. Anybody that walks in this church wants to hear the gospel and get prayer, will get the word of God, and they'll get prayer, and love will meet them at the door.
Okay, that's the key, because if they can't get that, then how will we expect them to want to come to realize what they're doing is wrong?
It's just very important that they don't go to church to make a show. If they go to make a show, that would be very evident, and in that case, they would not be welcome.
Right, that wouldn't be right.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thank you, sir. Call quickly. Oh, got 3 minutes here. I don't want to miss nobody, and I'm not sure I haven't because it's been too much, but I want to tell you, you need to pray. You need to be a part of this, and you need to help me. You really do. A new, fresh move of concerned charlatans and meetings with good people, and then getting some good attorneys in here that are able to litigate some things as needed. I really think the city has overstepped their boundaries when they've issued of their own executive order some idea. You know, that's unfair to the citizens who work in those places who do not agree with that. And that's the kind of advantage over other people that many many times politicians will make, especially when they're liberal on the leftists and they're not out to do good to nobody. They out to change us all and put us all in their mold. And I've been telling people for years when the homosexual idea began to take on political connotations, I began to warn people it'll start low, it'll start small, but it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and there's no end. The only end results that they will accept is to be celebrated and then to be copied. That's what they want. Celebrated and then copied. And we're not going to do that because it's wrong. It's contrary to the Bible, and we're going to say that plain. All right. I don't think I've missed anybody. I hope I haven't. Now, you keep calling. The ladies will stay right at those phones as long as you ring, and we'll send you a copy of this message that I think is going to be grand. Satan's reign of terror. It is a reign of terror, by the way. Satan's reign of terror is almost over. I'll give you Bible. You'll love what the scripture says because the Bible is plain as it can be. And I love you, friend. You are very, very important. I mean, very, very important. God bless you. It's been a joy. I brought you the truth to the best of my ability, and I probably have gone over time. God bless you. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. Did you know that? Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. I can hardly wait for his coming. I'm ready to go. I'm telling you, I'm ready to go. I want you to know he's coming, and he wants you to be a vessel of honor for his glory.
My life in your hands, and if you had to break me, yeah, I understand. You're still loving.
Can you catch a picture of that? A frustrated person praying, God, I'm so angry.